Morning, everyone. Bwana asifiwe.
Asifiwe
sana. I'm testing Vicky whether she remembers it. Bwana asifiwe. Ooh, that's part of family. I'm so delighted to be here and be the one that is bringing the word of the Lord to us this morning. I can't say more than my wife has just said. Thank you, every one of you, for blessing our lives in very many, many ways. I think what we didn't mention on those slides, that center needed some clean water to drink, and your church contributed to the sinking of a borehole. Now we have clean water at that center. And every pipe has clean water. Ah, that was great. Three questions that we have learned to answer when we've been here. What brings you here? How long are you going to be here? When are you going home? We've become expert. We have read the answers. And if you want to know when we're going home on Tuesday. And it's been beautiful to just be around you people. We have received great hosting from Naomi and Abraham and their children, and that we ended up at this church. A warm fellowship of brothers and sisters. And as Catherine has led us into that song, Family of God, we feel family. And my invitation to as many as can come to experience the other family on the other end. Come to Kenya someday. Right? Oh, thank you. Yes. So there is an open invitation for all of you and as many as can come. If you ask an African preacher to be the one bringing the word, you must prepare to stay long. We don't know how to preach short and brief, and I have been learning to be brief. So this being the last service, it's going to be long. And you can be sure I'm not serious. Turn with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I'll read from verse 5, although I'll just speak from two verses at the very bottom of that passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, and I'll read to 10, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. May I read that? We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power, for the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And you know of our concern over you from the way we lived when we were with you. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. As a result, you have become an example to all believers in Greece throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. And whenever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us, and how you turned away from idols to serve the living God, the living and true God. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. Something to talk about. I want to highlight that as my thought this morning. Something to talk about. These Christians at this city had a radical change. The reception of God's word brought such a great change in their lives that other believers talked about it everywhere. It's like their testimony was being told by other people, so that even Paul himself and his entourage, Timothy and Silas, they didn't really need to talk about the believers at Thessalonica. Why? Because they were so changed that people were marveling. They were amazed. Everybody talked about the things that the believers were experiencing at this little church. That must have been a great change. So something to talk about. So this church gave other people something to talk about. And what were they saying? What were these people? Come on. I don't know how people tell your story. I don't know. This is what we find here. That people are saying about them. How they turned to God from idols. Well, you want to check that in verse 9. They kept on telling us and talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from idols to serve the living and true God. That's what they were tweeting. Come on, I guess that's what they did. They were texting, "Woo, there is something going on there. Woo, there is a move of God in that place." And they are no longer going to the temples. They are no longer going to the theaters, you know. There was such a great change that they just smiled and people talked about it. Just moved on with the change. And people tweeted and text, Facebook each other on what God was doing at this city. Something to talk about. Sometimes when we think about ancient Greek world and Roman world, we think, they deserved it. They had many idols, they had many gods, they had many temples, a lot of pleasures, going to the theaters and games. And we kind of look at them as primitive and belonging to something they deserved at that time. But it is true, there were many gods and there were many idols. That was the culture at that time. And if you didn't serve or you didn't have an idol at home, you didn't have a shrine at home, you didn't go to the big temples, you were funny. You were shunned. People didn't really greet you by the way and by highways. The worshipping of idols was common. And then 2,000 years to today, worshipping of idols and having temples and shrines may be forgotten and unknown to some of us. But like somebody has said, that an idol is that thing that obsesses you, that you can spend so much time without a second, so much time and money and energy and passion That thing that preoccupies you, that takes your energy, that takes your money, that takes all your resources, without much thought, without logical reasoning and thinking, long-term planning, that becomes your idol. And I think all over the world, people have many idols. It's not just the ancient Greek and the ancient Romans that had idols. And every time the word of God is preached and is received like these people did, people learn to throw away those idols. And they learn to trust God and to serve Him. And it says in verse 10, and wait for Jesus. The inception of God's word brings such a radical transformation that people, when looking at you, they think you are funny. You belong to another culture. You don't belong to this world, and that is true. You're not part of the modern society because you behave like a child of God. You behave like a Christian. When people truly receive the word as it is powerfully presented to them through the Spirit of God, the change that comes upon people's lives becomes radical, becomes permanent. And it's not just a one-time change, it's an ongoing change. It's a transformation that is going to last, hopefully. So the entrance of God's word into a person's life ought to change that person so much that people at workplace have something to talk about. That people at school or in college, they have something to talk about. You really don't have to go telling it all over. Sometimes it's good you have to tell it, but the change that comes when we truly commit our lives to Christ, it's radical change. Please note the progression that they turned from to. They turned from idols. The Bible, like the Old Testament, the New Testament, would give you definition of that word into different words. One would say changing your direction, and the other one would be changing your attitude and changing your mind. We use the English word repentance for that. But the turning here was so dramatic that it changed how they see life, how they evaluate their world, how they understood the present culture and how it related to their faith in God. They turned from all that, and like Paul would tell the Philippians, I trashed all that. Becoming Christians and loving Jesus Christ introduces us to kingdom values, introduces us to values that are foreign to our world. And those values affect every part of our lives. It affects our relationships with people. It affects how we work. It affects how we relate with our children. It affects every part of our lives is transformed. That is the effect of turning to God and forsaking the worldly value system. A window is given to us in Hebrews 11 about Moses. Bible says that when he grew up, when he matured, he came to realize that he was not an Egyptian. And he forsook Egypt. He rejected the Egyptian values. He chose to suffer for the values of God and the people of God. He wanted to enjoy himself with God's people. That's what happens when you receive God's word. Um, know, the days of easy Christianity, cheap grace, are with us. This was a church that was suffering. It was being persecuted. And they will not quit. They will not shy about loving Jesus, living for him, and not attending those other meetings. My friends, this morning God calls us to turn from those things that are contrary to his will. And they turned to God. You know, following Jesus is not just leaving the world and turning to an emptiness. It's like dropping this and having this. In those ancient years, when Charles Wesley joined his brother John Wesley at the university, Wesley told his brother Charles, "Please, my brother, at this university, you cannot afford to hold Christ with one hand and hold the world with another. You have to drop one." And this is what these Christians realized. We will drop all this and turn to the true and the living God. The object of our faith is God. Our faith pursues a living God. It's not just an idea. It's not just a good lifestyle. The center of our faith is not just modern civilization. The center of our faith is pursuing the true and the living God. That's what we called for. You know, it's not just church, committed to church and going, you know, having good time and having Bible studies. We would say in Kenya, yani doing church. You know, yani doing church, you know. That would mean just doing church and having good time. Our pursuit is not just a denomination and preserving our traditions and cultures. Our object for our faith is God. And we will pursue him all our days. And these people realized that. They were so obsessed and committed to God that people had something to talk about. When they turned to God, they served him. You ask me, how do I serve God today? I know church has many ways that they provide ministry opportunities. And that's the way to serve God. This is the body of Christ. And when you serve these people, you serve God. I don't think you will ever come to a church service and find God sitting someplace here. Okay, give me. You won't find him. But God sends to us his children. God sends to us his people. God allows us to have opportunities to change people round and about us. That is serving God. Modern society tells us, serve me. And there is some form of Christianity, some form of ministry, some form of churches today that they won't talk about the man of God, the prophet of God. So we are here to serve the prophet. We are here to serve the man of God. No, we're not called to serve the man of God. We are called to serve God. And when we serve God, we touch lives. When we touch this little one, Jesus said, "You touched me." When you provide for these little ones, you provided to God. And we congregate and we're part of a fellowship like this to serve the true and the living God. That is our occupation. And, you know, we use this story. Everybody talked about them, how they are there for one another, how they are there to provide the needed care or the needed services. Everybody talked about these brothers and sisters, how they were serving God. You know, God service, you know, it's expensive, it's sacrificial. Sometimes it's demanding. It's not easy, you know. Some people would say, "Oh, we have a paid up pastor. He do all the visiting. We even have added to him some elders to help him. And so you do nothing but show up on Sunday morning." We can talk about that. We can talk about that. We want to talk about that brother or that sister who is there for the body of Christ. We want to talk about that brother or sister who makes sacrifices for the body, who will do all they can as God helps them to bless the body. These brothers gave people to talk about in their service to God. They turned from their worldly values and they embraced God's values that are transformational and that enabled them to serve God without so much expecting a pat on the back. Africans are not very expressive like Americans. So sometimes you will do a lot for Africans and they just watch. You do not know whether they like it or they don't like it. And sometimes you give up. Sometimes you get discouraged. Even when you are not, when people do not acknowledge your service, please realize that they were serving God as they were waiting. They did not give up. Even when they do not get a public applause, they did not get a commendation from people, they didn't quit. Humanly speaking, many of us would give up. We will not show up early in the morning. But this was God-initiated thing at this city, and they moved on. They kept at it. They persisted at this thing. They served God as they were waiting for the return of Christ. Let's think about waiting. The final waiting is the return of Christ. That is the ultimate. But even before he ultimately returns, there's a lot of waiting in ministry. And some of the results we expect as we do things for God, the results don't show up tomorrow. Sometimes we have to wait. And we are called to serve in patience, waiting, believing that God will come through for me. You will do something in the name of the Lord. You will go out of your way to help people and sacrifice and do ministry, hoping and believing that something is going to happen, that God is going to intervene in that situation. So as they served God, they were serving in hope. They were serving in hope, and they won't give up. They won't quit. And you know, we have so many things around and about us that can discourage us. And those of us that used to sit in front here have moved at the back. And the next thing, you don't see them in church. They no longer come. They were discouraged by something or by somebody. But serve God patiently. Serve him as you wait. We can spend the next 2 hours talking about that Jesus is coming. And in the ultimate coming, there will be acknowledgement in heaven. Jesus said, in the last day I will say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. This, I don't know whether they heard that sermon before, but they were serving God, waiting for the final well done. Oh, and you know, a saintly person said, oh, I don't think Jesus will ever tell me well done. I think he will tell me well tried. All I did was trying here. I tried helping this one. I tried helping that one. I tried helping that one. But keep on trying, my brother. He will say finally, good and faithful servant, well done. Do you feel like a failure when you serve God, that you don't always feel successful? God calls us to serve others, and he rewards servants. God rewards servants. While our world gives us great titles, God would still prefer that we remain servants. Paul introduces himself as a servant. In better words, as a bond slave. A bond slave was one who was serving his master willingly. He chose to serve him. He had the freedom to go home, go and join his family, go back to his land or wherever. But he, given the freedom to go away, decides, no, I'll give up all my freedom to serve my master. And here we are. The church may require us to do so much and we feel overwhelmed. But I pray that God will raise many who will consider them bond servants, that they will serve God willingly. They will not be pushed into it. They will not be coerced into it. But it's like saying, I am here. What do you have for me to do, Lord? They served in hope that God will come through for us. In the immediate future, he will come through for us. In the ultimate, the Lord Jesus will come through for us. And as we sang this morning, that I will not give my soul to any other. I'm not going to serve the idols of the present generation. I am going to say no to them. I have detached myself. I'm not going to get into our pleasure world. I'm not going to spend my energy, my monies, and my time in those worldly things. And I want to turn to God and serve him in my generation as I wait and look for his return. Lord Jesus, we do thank you. Because when you come into our lives, you bring about a change that's remarkable, that people can notice and talk about. And I do pray that you will help us to turn in a radical way from the worldly things and serve you in our time. We serve you with a hope that you will come through for us. And finally, you will take us home. Blessed be your great name. Amen. Thank you. God bless.